Turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. We have been studying the godly pursuit of biblical reformation in the evening this summer. And for the last several weeks, we've talked about the five souls of the Reformation. Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, and the glory of God alone. These are the first principles of salvation and of a reformed life. We've seen before that Scripture is the rule which points us to Christ. Christ saves us by grace. Grace leads us to faith, and faith always gives the glory to God. So we've already looked at Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone. So this evening we're going to talk about faith alone. Faith alone in Jesus Christ saves. Faith alone in Jesus Christ empowers us to live the Christian life. And it's that which glorifies God. So that's our lesson this evening. And we've seen before the five souls of the Reformation are a simple and yet profound biblical foundation to build our life upon. The pursuit of sound doctrine, the work of Reformation in the church, as well as the Christian life. They are like five pillars that hold up the structure and building of the church and the kingdom of God. And as we saw before, they are foundational. They're not the end, of course, but they are really just the beginning of what it means to be a Christian, living the Christian life, and the pursuit of godly reformation. And when any of these are denied or subverted, well, you can be sure that the church, Christian life, suffers ruin. And you can see that is the occasion, of course, in much of the church today. Of course, we've seen also there is a proper order to the five souls of the Reformation, as we saw, because Scripture is the foundation of everything. It's the foundation of Christian life, Christian doctrine for the church. We're built on Scripture. Scripture points us to Christ. Christ saves us by grace. His grace gives us faith, and faith gives glory to God. All five of them. But there is an order. And it begins with Scripture. And you cannot separate all of these from a godly Christian life and the work of Reformation in the church. So we've come this evening to the fourth point, that is faith alone. Faith alone saves. We're justified by faith alone through Jesus Christ and His saving work. Justification by faith alone is the hallmark of the Christian life. It's the heart of the gospel, the bulwark of the church, and therefore central to the work of Reformation. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, "But that no one is justified by the works of the law is evident, for the just shall live by faith." We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and we live by faith in Jesus Christ. So notice Paul says here in his defense of the gospel to the church in Galatia, that not only are we justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ, but that we live by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the heart, the power, and the source of the Christian life. It is impossible to please God without faith in Jesus Christ. And it is impossible to do anything in the Christian life apart from faith in Christ. So we live by faith in Jesus Christ. Or we do not live or grow in Christ at all. We're to trust in the Lord, and we're to put our trust wholly in the Lord. And so there's more to the Reformation doctrine of faith alone than just the doctrine of justification, although that is very important. But faith is central to every aspect of salvation and to the Christian life. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. The Apostle Paul, therefore, says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, in the heart of his argument to the church of Galatia, who were being subverted by the Judaizers, who denied the doctrines of grace, who denied the doctrine of justification by faith alone. He says this, "The Scripture has confined all under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all those who believe." Notice, Paul says all the blessings of grace and salvation, eternal life, justification, adoption, all the promises of God are freely given to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Faith alone is the key that unlocks the treasuries of God's grace. Faith alone in Christ is the conquering grace on earth, the triumphant grace the noble grace. Faith in Christ unites us to God. Faith obtains salvation. Faith cleanses from sin. Faith makes us the children of God. Faith empowers us to live the Christian life. And therefore, it is true faith in Jesus Christ that works by love and obeys God's word. Faith is everything in the Christian life. It's not just the beginning. It's the beginning, the middle, and the ending. And it is not any faith that we're talking about here, though. It's faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's faith in his divine glory, his mediatorial office, his life, his ministry, his death and resurrection, his lordship. It is faith in Christ, his glory and sovereignty, his grace and mercy, as well as his word of doctrine. True faith is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation, as he is revealed to us in the word and offered to us in the gospel. And true faith not only rests upon him, but forever relies upon him. Ephesians 3:17 says Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Now, it's for this reason that the reformers often said that while Scripture alone is the formal principle of the Reformation, faith alone is the material principle of the Reformation. Think of that. That's very important to remember. Faith alone in Jesus Christ is the material principle of the Reformation. It's the heart of the gospel, of the church. It's the only way to grace and salvation. John Calvin, therefore, said in his debate with the Roman Catholic Cardinal Sadoleto, he said this: the doctrine of justification by faith alone is the bulwark of the gospel, without which the glory of Christ is extinguished, true religion is abolished, the church destroyed, and the hope of salvation utterly overthrown. Without the doctrine of justification by faith alone, without understanding that we're saved by faith, we live by faith, the heart of the gospel is faith in Jesus Christ, it's a different religion. Right? This is why it is so important. So there are 10 things that we want to look at this evening with respect to the centrality and the importance of the doctrine of saving faith in the defense of the Protestant doctrine of sola fide, the material principle of the Reformation. Now notice first, faith alone is the way to grace and salvation. It is by faith in Jesus Christ alone that we are saved and are further given all other graces necessary for the Christian life. Faith in Christ is the door and gateway to salvation. Paul says the Scripture has confined all under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So the promise of salvation is given to those who believe in Christ. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by the works of the law. Faith is a gift from God. It's a gift of his grace. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, notice, to all who, what? Who believe. Who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Everything comes by faith. It's the gift from God. Repentance, knowledge, conviction of sin, good works, obedience to God. All the blessings of the gospel are poured out in the lives of believers. Those who come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by Christ alone, by his grace alone, and through faith alone. In Acts 15, verse 11, Peter, therefore, speaking at the Jerusalem council, said, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. It is through grace that we're saved, and therefore it is by faith alone. Faith in Christ, faith in his death and resurrection, faith in his righteousness imputed to us. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So we're brought to salvation not by our own works, but by a living faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It's His righteousness that we trust. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead to pay the penalty of our sins and to reconcile us to God. And therefore, we trust in Him. We put our faith in Him. We trust not only in the Lord, we trust on the Lord. We trust the Lord. In Acts 16, Paul therefore said to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Salvation comes by faith. Now that's the heart of the gospel. It's so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But that is the material principle of the Reformation. Faith is the way to salvation, not works, not human traditions, not rituals. Faith is the primary grace. It's by faith that we're saved, delivered from sin and death, from the condemnation of the law. And so there's no hope or grace to those who seek to be saved by their own works, by religious traditions, their own righteousness, the intercession of saints or priests, and any other means. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Henry Smith, the Elizabethan Puritan, said, "He that will be saved from sin must be saved by Christ. And he that will be saved by Christ must be saved by His grace. And he that will be saved by His grace must be saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ and His grace." That is a beautiful way of stating the simplicity of the gospel and the material principle of the Reformation. Salvation by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. Notice, secondly, faith alone is the way to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Notice it's by faith alone in Jesus Christ that we also receive the Holy Spirit. So Paul says here that the Scripture has confined all under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Well, the promise by faith in Jesus Christ is the promise and gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit is the gift of God that comes to believers through faith in Christ, not by works, but by faith. And so notice in Galatians 3:14, Paul says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? By faith, not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith, by trusting in Christ. The Holy Spirit cannot be sold or earned. You cannot buy the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." See, it's the Holy Spirit that works faith in us according to the grace of God, and so we don't receive the gift of the Holy Spirit by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in His righteousness, trusting in the merit of His suffering and death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead. In Galatians 3:2, the Apostle Paul therefore reproves the Galatians for their being misled by the Judaizers who sought to bring them into bondage to false doctrine, to make them think that their salvation depended upon them being circumcised and them keeping the laws of Moses, all the Levitical laws, the dietary regulations, all of that. And he says, "Hey, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh?" You see, what Paul is saying is, if you supposedly came to Jesus Christ by faith, how is it then that you think you're continuing in Christ by rituals and circumcision and regulations and all of these human ceremonies? You're mistaken. You're deceived. You have not yet received the gospel in truth, Paul is saying to those Galatians that are deceived. Because as we receive the Holy Spirit by faith in Christ, we continue in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith in Christ. William Tyndale wrote, "Faith in Christ is a thing wrought in us by the Holy Spirit, which changes us, turns us into a new creation, and begets us anew in God, makes us the children of God, and makes us altogether new in heart, mind, will, and desire, and in all other affections and powers of the soul, the Holy Spirit ever accompanying it and ruling the heart." How do sinners, unbelievers, those that are lost in sin, how do they receive the Holy Spirit? How do they come to Christ and salvation? Faith. faith alone. He that receives Christ by the hearing of faith receives the Holy Spirit by the working of his grace. How about the third point? Faith alone is the way to knowing God. It is by faith alone in Jesus Christ that we come to a saving knowledge of God. Think of how important that is. Paul says the scripture has confined all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. What is given to those who believe? But the knowledge of God. Faith is the key to knowing God, to understanding God's word, understanding divine things, spiritual things. Without faith in Christ, we're not only dead in sin, but we're also ignorant of God and his truth. It requires faith. We need to trust God and his word. Everything. Paul therefore says in Ephesians 4 that those who have no faith in Christ are blinded by darkness and are ignorant of God, alienated from him. And those who are unbelieving, they're ignorant, they're unknowing, deceived by blindness and darkness. Now think of that. It is only when we come to faith in Jesus Christ that we come to the knowledge of God. Faith alone in Christ begets a true knowledge of God. It is through faith in Jesus Christ that we come to know God, not only as our Creator, but as our Redeemer. We come to know his providence, his sovereignty over all things. We come to know the reality and depth of our sin. We come to know the judgment and holiness of God and the need of redemption through Jesus Christ. We come to know the necessity of the cross, the greatness of Christ's sacrifice, the atonement that he made for sin in satisfying the justice of God. We come to know God's grace, the plan of redemption, the purpose of history. We come to know the great body of divinity when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, the whole world lies in darkness, ignorant of God. Faith in Christ is necessary. It's preliminary to all true knowledge of God. That's why in Hebrews 11, Paul says, by faith, we understand. We know. Think of that. We know and understand that the worlds were made by the word of God. How? How do we understand? Creation, providence, and all the things in the world. It's by faith. Look at the blindness and the darkness of unbelievers, atheists, evolutionary pagans. They are completely confused in the basic, simple things of their being created in the image of God. They can't even discern the difference. I mean, they can't even discern that they are made in the image of God better than the animals. They've made themselves like beasts. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, only believe. Believe, and you will understand. You will know. You will see the glory of God. You'll understand all things. In 1 John 5:20, John says, and we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. How do we know? By faith. Who knows God? Who knows the truth? But he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith in Christ opens the door and gateway to all true knowledge, spiritual knowledge, historical knowledge. All that. It opens up a whole new world, a whole new life, a whole new existence. Everybody else without faith in Christ, they're in blindness and darkness. Augustine said, understanding is the reward and blessing of true faith. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. Understanding is the reward and blessing of faith in Christ. Anselm, sometime after him, said, I do not seek to understand that I may believe, but I believe so that I may understand. For this I also believe, that unless I believe, I will not understand. That is why people don't understand, because they don't believe. Unbelievers, they don't understand anything really. Why? Because they don't believe the word of God. They don't believe in Christ. And you think about how this applies to Christians today. How is it that so many Christians don't understand the Bible? How do they don't understand the Christian life? How? They don't believe. In order to understand, in order to have the knowledge of God sanctify our mind and lives, we have to believe. We have to trust Christ. We have to believe His Word. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Wise, knowledgeable, and understanding unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. How do we come to know, understand? Through faith. A lot of people ask me, how do you know so much? How do you understand so much of every subject in the world? How? Faith in Jesus Christ. I trust God. I believe His Word above the pundits, the media, the liars, the charlatans, the disease. Very simple. Read your Bible over and over and over and over. Study your Bible and believe it. And then you'll understand everything. You'll be made wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. In order to understand Scripture, which is the mind and will of God, to be made wise, knowledgeable, and discerning, we must have faith in Jesus Christ. It is by faith in Jesus Christ that we're given a true and saving knowledge of God. Do you see how important the doctrine of faith alone is? It's more than just justification by faith alone. It's more than that. That brings us to the fourth point. Faith alone is the way to union and communion with God. It is by faith alone in Jesus Christ that we are united to God and that we have communion with Him. Paul says the Scripture has confined all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all those who believe. Well, the promise here includes being united to God by the Spirit and having communion with Him. So to be united to Christ means to be united to God and to have fellowship with God. What a wonderful blessing. We are united to God by faith. For in verse 27, Paul says, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Faith unites us to God. And our communion in Him rests, notice, on faith. Faith that produces love and good works, but faith. Faith alone establishes, sanctifies, and keeps up our relationship with God, our union and communion with Him. Now, that faith, of course, produces a whole lot of things. Worship, love, good works, a godly testimony, sanctification, growth. Faith is establishment and the continuance of it all. Faith lays hold of the blessings of grace because it is the Holy Spirit who works faith in us and unites us to God and pours out blessings upon us in communion with God. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul therefore says, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. That is, we're united together with God through Jesus Christ. How so? Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So notice Paul says, our union with God is formed in our hearts by faith. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it is through faith. Faith in Christ unites us to God. Faith in Christ gives us life in the Spirit and further brings us into a saving relationship with God and continues our relationship and communion with Him. We're not converted to Christ by works. You don't have union and communion with God by works, by dietary regulations, by circumcision or baptism, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul goes on to say in verse 18 that it is through faith in Christ that we have access by one Spirit to the Father. We have access by one Spirit to the Father through faith. And as I said, that faith produces a whole lot of love and good works and devotion to God, love for Christ, worship, self-denial, all kinds of good graces and fruits. But it's faith. Romans 5:2, Paul says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. How do we have access into God's grace? How do we have communion with God? Through faith. How do we pray? What leads us to pray? Faith. Trust. We have faith in Christ. In Galatians 3, Paul reproves the church at Galatia, therefore, for compromising with these Judaizers, the false teachers. And he says, as I said in verse 3, he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you foolish? Are you so foolish? You can't receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law. You can't be saved and united to God by the works of the law. It's by faith in Christ. It's the gift of God that unites us to God. Salvation is by grace through faith. And so we must believe in Christ. We must live by faith. And it is faith that keeps us in communion with Him. How important that is. You know, there are so many religious people in the world today who think they have communion with God by ceremonies. False ones at that. Rituals, cultic traditions. They think they have communion with God by abstaining during Lenten season from meats, drinks. They think they have communion with God through circumcision, baptism, the lighting of candles, all kinds of crazy things. No, it's faith in Jesus Christ that unites us to God, as well as brings us into communion with Him. Once we come into faith in Jesus Christ, we have communion with Him. And therefore, we're to continue to believe. We're to continue to trust God. We're to continue to rest our lives upon Christ by faith. William Perkins said, he that receives Christ in faith receives God in abundance. Now, that's true of a new believer first trusting in Jesus Christ. That is also true of all believers. When we rest upon Christ in faith, we receive God in abundance. Think of how important that is in prayer. In receiving knowledge and wisdom and grace and discernment and sanctification. We rest in Christ by faith and we trust in Him for all the blessings that we have in communion with God. Well, that brings us to the fifth point. Faith alone is the way to be justified and made righteous before God. That should be obvious. It is by faith alone that we're justified and made righteous before God. Notice closely here how this is related to the other points. Because faith is the key to salvation. Faith unites us to God. Faith is the key to knowledge. Faith makes us God's children. Faith alone, therefore, makes us righteous before God. Right? In Galatians 2:16, Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So no one is justified before God and forgiven their sins by doing good works. By being circumcised, by practicing religious traditions, dietary regulations, or anything. No, we cannot be justified by works, ceremonies, anything like that. No one can stand righteous in the sight of God by their own merits or the merits of another, but Christ alone. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners. We all stand guilty before God and worthy of His condemnation and judgment because our sin and guilt can only be purged, cleansed, satisfied by the merit of Jesus Christ and his satisfaction for us on the cross. So we can only be justified by faith alone in Christ. Christ alone. Because justification is an act of God's grace. It's legal. It's forensic. It is the declaration of God's justice that we're not only pardoned of our sin, but we stand righteous in his sight on account of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is imputed or reckoned to us by faith, not by works, by faith alone. In Acts 13, verse 39, Paul therefore says, by him, that is by Jesus Christ, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. We are justified by faith alone. We are declared righteous before God and forgiven all of our sins by faith in Christ. Because Christ was righteous. He did what we could not do. He paid the penalty for our sins at the cross, suffering the wrath and justice of God, rose again from the dead. His passive, his active righteousness, together combined, is all of our righteousness. Romans 3, verse 21 through 28, Paul says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and upon all who believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, to demonstrate his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. A wonderful, a beautiful statement and declaration of the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ. The material principle of the Reformation, it is said so eloquently, so beautifully here in Romans 3. Faith in Jesus Christ alone justifies, because Christ alone is righteous, and Christ alone paid the penalty for our sins at the cross. Praise the Lord, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in thy great day, for who ought to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved through these I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. For justified by faith alone through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the righteous one who paid the penalty for our sins at the cross. Well, that brings us to the sixth point. Faith alone is the way to be made the children of God. Now think of that. Think how we're expanding on this doctrine. It is by faith alone in Jesus Christ that we are made the children of God. And so Paul says, the Scripture has confined all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all those who believe. What does the promise of God entail here and include but being made a child of God and being adopted into his family? Because notice in verse 26, just a few verses later, Paul says, for you are all the sons of God. How? Through faith in Jesus Christ. We are made the children of God by faith, not by works, not by human traditions, not by ceremonies, not by circumcision. We're made the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone is it makes us God's beloved children. Now we do good works in thankfulness to God as his children. That's true. Regeneration and adoption are blessings that come to us in Christ by faith, though. And that is what produces good works, thankfulness and gratitude, as we are the children of God. And so in John chapter 1, it says, Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. Faith alone in Christ makes us the children of God. We're born again, and we're adopted into God's family, not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So baptism, that's just a seal. That's a sign of our adoption. That's a sign of the washing and cleansing of sin. Faith in Jesus Christ, well, that's the real thing. And so we become the children of God by faith. adoption of the family of God is an act of grace. It is not something we deserve or can earn, but a gift from God, and that is sealed to us by faith. The Shorter Catechism rightly says, adoption is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. How so? The Bible says, by faith. By faith. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. What an incredible blessing. And that incredible blessing of being the children of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. Thomas Watson said, adoption is a great mercy, a great privilege from God that is given only to those who believe in the name of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Son of God makes us the sons of faith in God. Praise the Lord. It is faith alone in Jesus Christ that makes us beloved by God as his children. What a wonderful thing to remember. That we're beloved by God. We're his children, who he watches over, takes care of, forever and ever. Because we believe. Because we trust Christ, the Son of the Father, who's been given to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, notice seventhly, faith alone is the way to be cleansed from sin and guilt. It is by faith alone in Jesus Christ that we're cleansed of all of our sin and guilt. Our hearts are purified by faith and not by the works of the law. It is sad that so many people in the world today, even religious people who are troubled by sin and guilt and their conscience tormented, they often seek superficial cures or remedies of that sin and guilt instead of putting their faith in Christ. Think of that. But it's that simple. Just like the Judaizers, though, who falsely think that circumcision, the laws of Moses, and ceremonies and dietary regulations would cleanse them from sin. So a lot of people today look for spiritual cleansing from all different places except the most simple one. Faith in Jesus Christ and his abounding grace and mercy that flows from the cross. The only way to spiritual cleansing of sin, guilt, is faith in Christ. The Bible says our hearts can only be purified by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in here in Galatians 3. The blood of Jesus Christ alone cleanses us from sin and guilt. Our hearts are purified by faith. The scripture, he says, is confined all under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Well, the promise that God gives to those who believe is what? Redemption, forgiveness, and spiritual cleansing. So when Jesus went preaching the gospel throughout Israel, healing all manner of sickness and disease, well, he called the people to faith, to believe in him. Right? Only believe, he said repeatedly to the people, only believe. In Matthew 9, a woman came to the Lord seeking how she might be healed of all of her uncleanness, right, which is a sign of her lost and sinful condition, her guilt, as well as the many terrible doctors that couldn't do anything. She touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus turned to her and said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Her faith in Christ, her trusting him, has made her well, healed her, cleansed her. It stopped the flow of blood and cleansed her of her defilement. Jesus says, your faith has made you well, not your works, your faith. The woman believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was able and willing to heal her and cleanse her from sin because he was the great high priest. And the offering of his blood, the sacrifice that he would make at the cross, that had power to cleanse of sin. Faith in Christ is the key to cleansing from sin and guilt. And that's why Jesus repeatedly said to those who came to him looking for a miracle, looking for a blessing, what did he say? Only believe. So we should always remember
Just believe.
That's also a common theme throughout the book of Acts. In Acts 3:16, Peter preached the gospel to the children of Israel. And he said, "You kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, Jesus Christ, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Speaking of the healing and cleansing of the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. You remember when we went over that in Acts chapter 3? How was the lame man cleansed of guilt? By grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. He was cleansed of his sin by looking to Christ in faith. He didn't know sin. Remember what Peter says? Silver and gold I don't have. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Likewise, in Acts 15, verse 9, at the Jerusalem Council, in defending the grace of God against the Judaizers, Peter rose up. He said, "God, who knows the heart, acknowledged the Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Now think about that phrase. Our hearts are purified by faith. Those who are lost in sin, who are defiled by unbelief and idolatry and are headed for judgment in hell, how can their hearts be purified? Not religious rituals, not circumcision, not baptism, dietary regulation, not the works of the law. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hearts can be purified by faith. Their sins are forgiven. Their guilt washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of the gospel. In Acts 26, verse 18, Paul recounts when the Lord gave to him his commission to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And the Lord said to him, "I will deliver you from the Jews as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn from them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in me." Notice, how do we receive the forgiveness of sins? How do we receive an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ? Faith sanctifies. Faith purifies the heart from sin and guilt. What a beautiful truth. Number 8, faith alone is the way to eternal life and glory. It is by faith alone also in Jesus Christ that we're given the promise and blessing of eternal life. So Paul says here in Galatians 3:22 that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Well, the promise that is here spoken of includes, of course, the blessing of eternal life. To be heirs according to the promise is to be heirs of eternal life and glory. That was the promise that was given to Abraham that was to be fulfilled in Christ. And so in verse 18, Paul says that the inheritance is not of the law, but according to the promise. No one inherits eternal life by the works of the law. The scripture has concluded all under sin. All mankind have fallen short of the glory of God. All mankind are under sin and stand guilty before God. And so the promise of eternal life is given only to those who believe in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ put sin to death and rose from the grave as the Lord of life and glory. All those who put their trust in Christ, therefore, have life given to them and the promise of eternal glory. Just as we spoke before, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life is found in Jesus Christ and in believing in his name. In Romans 5:21, Paul says, "Just as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So all those who believe in Christ have eternal life. All those who do not believe in Jesus Christ have death, and the wrath of God stands over them. But life the promise of resurrection glory is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the Lord of life, that he suffered on the cross, that he rose from the dead. And in his resurrection life, there is the promise of resurrection glory. Hebrews 9:15 says, and for this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called by faith may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. The promise of the eternal inheritance. Glory. Paradise. Heaven. Everlasting life. That's a blessing of God's grace that is given to those who, what? Who believe in Jesus Christ. Faith alone opens the door to paradise and the land of eternal glory. That's why when Jesus was on the cross and one of the thieves that was there next to him turned to him and in faith said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus very strikingly said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Faith in Jesus Christ, even on the cross, gives the promise of paradise and glory. That was by the grace of God, of course. But the thief was given faith that brought him on that very day to glory with the Lord. And for all those who believe in Jesus Christ, he has promised a paradise of eternal life and eternal glory in the presence of God. Well, notice ninthly, then, faith alone is the way to live the Christian life. Shouldn't that be obvious now? It is by faith alone in Jesus Christ that we are able to live the Christian life. Faith in Christ is the key to living unto God, to living for his glory, following Christ and taking up the cross. The promise of God to those who believe is not only the promise of eternal life and glory, but also the promise of living for Christ now. See, we are made alive unto God by faith in Jesus Christ. We have the promise of the Spirit and are given the grace to live for God's glory. How do we live then? By faith. That's why in Galatians 2, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ loves me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain. Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the Christian life. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And therefore, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I live for him. I live by faith. I live by grace. He empowers me. Faith in Christ gives us life in the Spirit and communion with God, but it makes us alive to God. The door of entrance into the Christian life is Christian faith. Faith in Jesus Christ alone. Everything that we do in the Christian life is a result of our faith. Faith is the fountain from which all other graces and all other duties flow. Without faith, Paul says, it is impossible to please God. Think of that. See, this is the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Is more than just how we're saved. It is how we live. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to love God. It's impossible to worship God, obey God. It's impossible to glorify God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. John 20:31 says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, what? You may have life in his name. We have life in the name of Christ through faith. And those who believe in Christ have life and live for him. The door of entrance into the Christian life is faith, and no one has life in Christ but those who put their faith in him. Now you might say, oh, well, that's why so many people don't live the Christian life. It's an evidence they don't have faith. Right now, you might have to say, well, there's a lot of weakness and sin and doubt and trouble and vexation and anxiety. But look, faith in Jesus Christ is the way to the Christian life. Paul says in Romans 4, the just shall live by faith. So we live the Christian life by faith in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? The Christian walk, traversing to the New Jerusalem, is by faith. That's a beautiful part of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Because whenever he doubts, whenever Christian is on his way to the celestial city, whenever he doubts, what happens? He gets off the road. He gets off the path. He falls into the patterns of sin, right? The castle of giant despair. All kinds of problems happen when you don't walk by faith, right? In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says that we are therefore to add to our faith, meaning the faith is the foundation. What are we to add to our faith? Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. But notice that the root and source of all of these virtues and all of these graces is what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Augustine therefore said, to believe in Christ is our chief duty and the fountain from which all other graces and duties flow. We're to believe in the Lord and on the Lord, and we're to live by faith. We're to live by faith in Christ and his word. That's how we grow. That's how we're sanctified. That's how we're built up in the Christian life. No one lives the Christian life but those who live by faith in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in their own works or the merits of any other. Right? That's how we get tripped up. That's how Christians get tripped up. So to attribute works or merit to ourselves or to others, even in the Christian life, well, that cuts us off from living for Christ and growing in him. That's what Paul is saying here. If you put your trust in anything else but in Christ, you're going to stumble. You're going to fall in the mud. Right? You're not living the Christian life. Faith is the source of all other Christian graces. It is the foundation of the Christian life. Right? And sometimes it is the very evidence of whether a person is saved or not. I remember years ago debating a Roman Catholic bishop. He spoke of the Christian life as a moral life, which we follow the example of Christ. And everything he said, his works, morality, and ritual, and ceremonies. Nothing about faith in Christ. Nothing about faith in Christ, his person, his offices, his sacrifice, faith in his word. Nothing. That's the problem with a whole lot of false religion. They rely on works. They rely on religious traditions, human traditions, dietary regulations, false teachings, and not faith in Jesus Christ and his word. Martin Luther said, you cannot live the Christian life nor imitate Christ and follow his example until you renounce your own self-righteousness and trust entirely in his righteousness alone for salvation. And even then, you are to live by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. The hymn says, Jesus, I live to thee, the loveliest and best, my life in thee, thy life in me. By faith alone I rest. We live by faith. And then notice finally, faith alone is the way to do good works pleasing to God. It is faith alone in Jesus Christ that enables us to do good works that are pleasing to God and that glorify God. So faith in Christ is the mother and source of all our obedience to God. Think of that. In Hebrews 11:6, Paul says that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So good works do not please God at all unless they're done by faith. Unless they're done out of faith in Jesus Christ and for his glory. It's by faith that we please God. Faith in Jesus Christ is the altar of all of our good works and our obedience. And therefore Paul speaks of the obedience of saving faith. Faith, therefore, works by love. And there is really no true love for God, no good works done by man, no virtue to be seen in the world apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there might be like civil works, but not good works. There may be restraint among men that are religious, but not works done for the glory of God, unless it's done by faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is the altar by which God sanctifies all our works. Otherwise, they're not acceptable to God. James 2 says that faith is the source of good works, just as good works are the proof of a living faith. How important that is to remember. Paul and James never contradict one another. No, not at all. James, is in his book, is refuting the idea that a person can have faith without proving it by good works. He's refuting antinomianism. That kind of faith is dead. It's a false faith. True faith in Christ is alive, and it works by love and obedience to God's commandments. John Calvin said, it is faith alone that justifies. But the faith that justifies is never alone, but works also by love and good works. It is faith alone in Christ that makes the heart able and willing to obey God and do those things pleasing to Him. How do we please God? How do we keep His commandments? By faith. And therefore, if we're not living to please God, if we're not obeying God's commandments, if we're not taking the cross, well, as believers, we can be assured there's an element of doubt. Think of that. Even Jesus said to the disciples, warned them, admonished them of their doubt. Only believe, he says, trust. Right? And there's no way to do good works or to be obedient to God and His commandments but by faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, you can see that we live in a rebellious and disobedient generation because we live in a sinful and unbelieving generation. Right? Paul says in Romans 14:23 that whatever is not of faith is sin. So you can be assured if there is widespread disobedience to God's commandments, it comes from unbelief. It comes from a heart of unbelief. Because it's faith alone in Christ that enables us and motivates us to do good works for the glory of God. It is by faith that we're brought in submission to Christ, His Word, and a life of obedience to God's commandments. How wonderful that is. How important that is for the Christian life. So you can see through this lesson, Calvin is right. The doctrine of justification by faith alone is the bulwark of the gospel, without which the glory of Christ is extinguished, true religion is abolished, the church is destroyed, and the hope of salvation utterly overthrown. That's why it is so important to defend, preach, teach the doctrine of justification by faith alone and everything around it. Faith alone in Christ is the way. It is the true way, the living way, the only way. It is the gift of God. It's the source of salvation and every spiritual blessing. And for that, it is the material principle of the Reformation. Faith alone in Christ is central to every aspect of salvation, every aspect of the Christian life. All the blessings of salvation and eternal life are freely given to those who believe in Christ. Faith alone is the key to unlock the treasures of all of God's grace. Faith alone is the conquering grace, the triumphant grace, the noble grace. Faith unites us to God. Faith obtains salvation. Faith cleanses from sin. Faith makes us the children of God. Faith empowers us to live the Christian life. Faith makes us obedient. And therefore, to believe in Christ is our chief duty and from the fountain of which all other graces and duties flow. Faith in Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul says here in Galatians 3:22, that the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all those who believe. Those who believe. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see faith alone. How important. Faith alone is the way to grace and salvation. It's the way to receive the promise of the Spirit. It's the way to knowing God. Faith alone in Christ is the way to union and communion with God, to be justified and made righteous, to become children of God, to be cleansed from sin and guilt. Faith alone in Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life and glory. It's the way to live the Christian life and the way to do good works pleasing to God in obedience to His word. Faith alone in Jesus Christ. Listen to the hymn. It says this: I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only Thee. Trusting Thee for my salvation, great and fully free. I am trusting Thee for pardon, at Thy cross I bow, for Thy grace and tender mercy, trusting Thee right now. I am trusting Thee for cleansing in the crimson blood, trusting Thee to make me holy by Thy precious blood. I am trusting Thee to guide me, Thou alone shalt lead, every day and hour supplying all my daily need. I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, to keep me in Thy grace. I am trusting Thee forever and in glory to see Thy face. Faith alone in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless You and praise You for Your great love and mercy to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, granting us the gift of saving faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that You would continually sanctify our hearts by faith, that we might ever grow in grace and the knowledge of Your word, to live by faith, that we might do all things pleasing in Your sight, to glorify Your name. We pray You pour out Your Spirit upon Your church and grant those that are lost in sin and darkness a living faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that You would be glorified, that You would bring revival and reformation to Your church, all to the glory of Your name, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.